The 11 o'clock hour of Wildy and Tausch begins now. How'd trivia go, boys? What'd I miss?
It went really well. We almost had three, got the first two, and the last one ended up being a guess for him. Do you think you'd have got it? Do you know which women's soccer coach got suspended after flying drones over other teams' closed practices?
Canada's.
There you go. See, you nailed it.
Yeah.
Saw that story. Yeah, cheaters, those Canadians.
Yeah.
Do they cheat at curling too?
No, they don't. But I do like to pretend like there's a big rivalry there. It's kind of like the Bears and the Packers, though. As of late, we don't.
They've owned you.
Yeah, for the most part. I mean, not really at the Olympics, but. I guess they beat us in the bronze game, so I should say that. We beat them twice to win gold, but yeah, for the most part, Canada beats us up. So,
are they at least cool dudes? Like, are they fun to hang out with?
50-50. Depends on the team.
Ah.
I do. The team that we played in, actually, honestly, the last two Olympic, Canadian Olympic teams, they weren't my favorite. They're not bad guys, but they're not my favorite to hang out with.
Is that just because they drink that Canadian beer and they don't drink Coors Light like you do? Or is there more waxy buildup than that? You know, I'm a reporter. I'm going to ask you the tough questions, brother.
So one of the cool parts about curling when I started was at the end of the night, last game of the day, or your last game of the day, you'd hang out and have a beer or at least sit down with the other team and chat. And these guys are like 50-50 on whether they do that or not. If they beat you, they're more than willing to sit down and have a chat. If you beat them, they go home. So, you know, they're perfectly fine guys. They just take losing hard. So, I don't know. That's kind of why.
Well, don't you?
Not so hard that I'm not going to like sit down with the other team and enjoy myself after a game. You know, plus the winners buy the losers a beer. So that's a free Coors Light, baby.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, we are not into the competitive periods of practice yet. The still routes on air for the receivers. We got a little bit of offensive lineman drill work going on, but we will get into 11-on-11 a little bit later in practice when things get more competitive. And I'm sure guys are still having beers together after practice because there's no Canadians on the roster.
Right.
I do think it's interesting to come down here, Matt, because as I walk, and again, I don't want to play too much on your fandom, but this is a different dynamic than when Bulaga fills in or when Tausch is on the show, because those guys, you know, they've got the former player perspective, and then
right.
Homer's got the crazy old man / goat of Wisconsin sports talk radio history. Angle. And with you, you're a Packers fan. You're a world champion and Olympic champion curler, but when it comes to football, you're knowledgeable, but you're a fan. And so as I walk down here and I pass people, you know, taking pictures in front of the sign and the kids on the bikes that are out here every day, like, I'm curious, like, you deal with Jim Rutledge on a regular basis, and I don't know how he would describe Bears fans because, I mean, let's be honest, he's a Bears fan, and he can be obnoxious.
Yeah.
Whether or not, you know, Packers fans, believe me, there are some Packers fans that can be obnoxious too. But when you think about kind of your Packers fandom, I feel like training camp is the time where we're reminded of just how unique this group is. Have you ever been up here during training camp, or is that coincided with your intensive Olympic training?
You know what? I was very jealous of some friends when I was younger. Their parents put their bike in the car and drove them up to training camp to try and get on that dream drive, and I never got to go. So I have not been up for training camp. I've been up for preseason games and stuff, but never for like the training camp. I think I was there for a summer camp in the Green Bay Curling Club, which is across the street. So I was able to stand by the fence.
Yeah.
And I watched some like training camp through like the fence a little bit, but never intentionally just for training camp. Typically, I'm waiting for news to come out. I'm waiting for the paper to come so I can see Jason Wilde write some story about whoever.
Well, what do you got going on next week?
Next week.
Come on up.
Yeah, honestly.
You can hang out with me.
I might be able to swing late next week.
We'll get you credentialed.
I've got a Tauscher weekend coming up, so I won't be back until like Wednesday.
I am acutely aware of that. Packers are getting some of their guys back that have been missing time. Corey Ballantyne appears to have been cleared, one of their corners that played a bunch last year. Caleb Jones, the offensive lineman, he's enormous. Like, he's 6'8", 6'9", 350 pounds. Would he be a good curler, or is he just wouldn't have a broom that would fit him, right?
Yeah, you know, tough to say with those big guys whether they'd be good curlers or not, because there's not a ton of really giant dudes curling. So I don't know. But you're right. The curling broom would have... You'd have to make sure you have the right technique, because you could snap that pretty easily, and if you snap your curling broom on ice, you're going down.
They are without Robert Rochelle, who has a calf injury. He's been added to the injury list, but they are getting healthy as we get ready for the first padded practice tomorrow, which, oh, by the way, is when then guys get hurt again, right?
Right.
I mean, the physicality goes up and guys start to get some bumps and bruises. So we'll see how they progress through the week. Now, it's interesting because they had yesterday off, as mandated by the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
Today is once again a no pads practice, and then they'll be in pads on Saturday for the first time. And that's, for me anyway, that's when I feel like camp really starts. Now, yeah. Tausch would tell you back in the day that camp really started on day one, because not only were they in pads on day one, they were in pads in the morning on day one, and then they practiced again in the afternoon in pads on day one. So this is kind of today and the first 3 days, it's a little bit like watching the off-season program and OTAs. Looks a lot the same. They're in shorts, helmets, and jerseys. There's no true contact, although the offensive linemen and defensive linemen do get after it to some degree. But tomorrow will be the big day when we really start to get a feel for, okay, what do they have here, and what is it going to look like when guys are in pads and getting after each other? I'm really eager, Matt, and I'm curious about you. You know, there are so many storylines that I focus on during camp, right? Mm-hmm. And the Jordan Love, that's one of the reasons why Jordan Love, he's not out of sight, out of mind, because he's here. Like, he's watching practice. I can see him right now standing right behind the quarterbacks as they're throwing. But he's out of practice, out of mind for me anyway, because he's not doing anything during the time that I get to see him. So I'm thinking more about the offensive line and what their depth looks like. I'm thinking more about how, as we talked about earlier, Clifford the Big Red Dog has performed. It's funny that he has red hair, by the way.
Well, I know. That's why. That's why.
I love Clifford the Big Red Dog and Emily Elizabeth and the whole crew. I'm thinking about, you know, some of the players that are facing critical seasons, right? I wrote about A.J. Dillon a couple of days ago and how he's come back in such incredible shape. And quite frankly, he needs to, right? Because mm-hmm. he is fighting for his football career after four seasons where things have not taken off for him. He's been great in the community. He's a beloved fan favorite.
Yeah.
But, you know, he had six games last year when Aaron Jones was injured that he started, and he managed 335 yards on the ground and averaged 3.4 yards per carry. They need him to be better, and he looks like he has done everything he can to put himself in position to succeed. So those are some of the storylines I've paid attention to. But the one that I'm really interested in starting tomorrow is, what does this defense look like when the pads come on? And I'm curious for you as a fan, as you're watching or listening or reading, how much of this defense has your focus? Because we're not talking about what Jordan Love looks like. We're not talking about other aspects of this team. And to me, that's the aspect that I am the most fascinated by far.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. It's probably got my interest peaked the most as well, because you got a new coordinator. We got Xavier McKinney, which was a huge pickup. Like, I do, and not only like new coordinator, totally new system. We went from a 3-4 to a 4-3, and like, I know that there's position, like, guys who are positioned better for it, and this, it still kind of runs like a 3-4, but it's technically a 4-3. Like, I understand that, and I'm probably not going to really be able to tell a whole heck of a lot of difference other than the way they line up pre-snap. But I'm just excited for some fresh new blood. Like, I know Halfley's not a guarantee to, like, knock it out of the park and be the, you know, the best defensive coordinator the Packers have ever had. But I was just ready to move on. I was ready for something new, and this defense has me excited this year. We put some money into it getting Xavier. We made some pretty good moves in the draft to get some young players like Bullard. So I'm excited for this defense. The offense I'm nervous for because I feel like they've got like an expectation now. This defense, if their expectation is to be slightly better than the Joe Barry defense, I feel like that's very achievable. This offense, if their expectation is do what you did at the end of last season, that makes me nervous. So that's why I'm excited for the D.
Well, and I think the biggest thing, and this is something that we've talked about certainly on this show, but that the players have talked about a ton, and that is the more aggressive approach. Now, look, I will be the first one to admit that when the conversation about this new system was, oh, it's going to be more aggressive, I thought, well, yeah, but whenever they change coordinators, no coordinator ever comes in and says, yeah, we're going to play it safe more. We're going to be less aggressive. You know, we're going to just sort of sit back. Now, that's what Joe Barry's defense often did, right?
Was bend, don't break, kind of.
And that whole umbrella, the keep everything in front of you kind of approach. Mm-hmm. And the fact of the matter is that every coordinator talks a good game about aggressiveness. But what I think we've seen, and again, tomorrow will be an even better indicator of that, when the defensive lineman and offensive lineman have pads on and they really get after it, is what exactly is this aggressiveness going to look like and how is it going to help? Because we've heard defensive players talk about it a lot, that, you know, as opposed to what was a two-gap system where if you were a defender and you were up front on the line, you had two gaps that you were responsible for, and you had to read the play and then react and go to one gap or the other, one of the two that you're responsible for. Now that's gone. You know, Kenny Clark and Devontae Wyatt and T.J. Slayton and all those big uglies, as Keith Jackson used to call them, up front, are now going to get after guys.
Yeah.
And it's one gap that they have to be responsible for, and they're going to try and get into that gap and get up the field and disrupt things. And so how effectively will they do that? How will that look? That's what we're eager to see. And so that, you know, right now, you know, at the end of the field that I'm at, right now they're running routes on air in the red zone. So, you know, fans, you can hear them in the background cheering for catches and stuff like that. But, I mean, let's be honest, there is no defense. Like, they've got some assistant coaches giving token defensive coverage. Like, tomorrow, when they get into 11-on-11, we're going to see if this aggressive approach defensively disrupts what they want to do offensively. And how is Sean Clifford going to handle that? How is the offensive line going to protect him? Because let's be honest, to the first few days of what we've seen here at camp, they have not protected him very well. That has been another component of his, you know, less than stellar play in Jordan Love's play. So that's something we're looking forward to, but there's no denying that the players have talked again and again and again about how this is going to be so good for them because they get to be more aggressive, they do less thinking, they do more attacking. Now, I still go back to what Jason Rebrovich, the defensive line coach, said when I asked him, okay, if that's your approach, that's great, and everybody gets excited to hear it, but what are the drawbacks? What's the downside to taking that approach? And, you know, he claimed there isn't one. I don't believe that.
I don't either.
Like, one of the dangers of being aggressive is that if you get washed out of your gap, then there's a wide open space for the running back to go through, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's among the things that we're going to see how effective it is, because no defense is impenetrable.
There is no drawback. And why isn't everybody in the league doing it?
Right.
If there's no drawback to being aggressive.
Yeah, that's
what a funny answer you got.
It was I'd be lying if I said I didn't roll my eyes when I got that answer. But again, sometimes you don't get to control the answers. You only get to ask the questions, and you hope for good answers. We've gotten great answers from Matt Hamilton, our cousin sub of the day, throughout the show. We'll get more from training camp practice and talk more about where this team looks like it's headed and what's going on. And we'll have some fun along the way, too. Plus, Woe Hunter still coming up, and Feel Good Friday painted by Hallman Lindsay Paints, where I will finally get to talk about my Optimist League Cardinals softball team and what they accomplished in spite of the mediocre coaching that they dealt with from the head coach throughout their season. That's all still ahead. Before we can get to any of that, though, Tausch has got to tell us about what Fortrea has going on. Here's Tausch about Fortrea and more Will D. Tausch straight ahead. Stick around.
Mark Tauscher here for FortreaClinicalTrials.com. Well, we all are looking to get a little extra cash in our pockets, and if that's you, head over to FortreaClinicalTrials.com. They have a bunch of different studies that will do exactly that, put a little cash in your pocket. Healthy men, ages 18 to 55 with a body mass index of 18 to 32. The study involves one stay of 6 nights, and you can be compensated up to $3,290 for your time and participation if you refer a friend. $200 per qualified referral. They also have studies are looking for healthy adults, ages 18 to 60. Body mass index between 18 and 32. That study involves one stay of 14 nights, 11 follow-up visits, and woo, dog, you can be compensated up to $13,006 for your time and participation. Just head over to FortreaClinicalTrials.com. That's Fortrea, F-O-R-T-R-E-A, clinicaltrials.com. With tears in my eyes, love in my soul, I feel like starting something. The pain it subsides the minute I go. I feel like starting something. Go la 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 la. I feel like starting something.
The Packers offense continues to dominate against air in the red zone.
That's so air. Awesome. That's great news. So, thank you.
So when you – I know you've got some Packers questions for me, I'm mm-hmm. sure.
Yes.
As the crowd cheers as we return from commercial. But when you practice, like, do you guys scrimmage? Do you have, like – do you put stones from the air quotes – opposition in specific spots for you to work on to like for positioning purposes? Like what exactly is it that you do when you're practicing? Because the routes on air, I think there's value in that. I'm not making fun of it, because you got to get your steps right, you got to run your route properly, and this is how you learn and improve and sharpen your skills, right? So mm-hmm. how do you guys do it with Team Schuster before we get to any Packers questions you have?
So one of the interesting things about curling is I feel like practice might be a tiny bit harder than a game.
What?
Yeah. So hear me out now. In a game, you've got two sweepers, and as well as you, the shooter, or when you're shooting, you've got a pair of eyes on the rock. You've got the captain or the skip of the team who's also watching the rock. So you've got two guys watching it for curl, and then you have two sweepers to sweep. So when I'm setting up shots in practice, and if I'm by myself, I don't have sweepers. So my margin of error goes from, you know, a decent size to nothing. So throw in kind of like what you're saying, like throwing practice shots against air is a little harder in curling, where it's the opposite in football. So I think that's kind of interesting. Just because I don't have some of the manipulation abilities of a sweeper to affect the outcome of my shot.
Oh, you're plenty manipulative, let's be honest. all right, so you have a question for me as I stand here in the tiny sliver of shade far away from my colleagues, so I'm not annoying them by forcing them to listen to half of a radio show.
Fair. I think they would thank you if they knew that you're doing this for that reason. Now, my question for you is, obviously, we've been talking, hold out, hold in. It's a hold in because Jordan Love is there. Jordan Love also technically under contract, so he can be there. Is he allowed to just indefinitely just be around, or do they have to put him on some sort of pup list at some point if no deal is done? Like, what's that look like? Is he really, like, allowed to just be present but not practice?
Yeah, he is. And they obviously reached some sort of an agreement between the team and his representatives and him,
mm-hmm.
That they were going to be okay with this and that this was acceptable to them and they weren't going to fine him. So a number of years ago in the collective bargaining agreement, they made a pretty significant change, and it was something that I still, for the life of me, do not understand why players agreed to it, especially considering that they smushed in the 17th game into the schedule. Now we're going to see them push for an 18th game in the schedule. Like, I'm not criticizing, because I am a terrible negotiator. Anybody who buys something on Poshmark or eBay from me or Facebook Marketplace, I'm not exactly going to drive a hard bargain, right? So it's a little bit disingenuous for me, but I think in this instance, it's fair. They fought for such stupid things like less contact in the off season and less practice time, which I understand, right? I want more time off too. I get that part of it. But one of the things that they gave up was that when you hold out, if you're under contract and you don't report and you're not on your rookie contract anymore, that you are automatically fined and there is no rescinding or forgiving the fines. They have to be enforced. And so, like, remember in 2021 when I argued that Davante Adams should have come to camp and reported but then not participated? It's what Brandon Ayuk's doing right now. If you don't come, you get fined. Like, Trent Williams in San Francisco is going to get fined for every day he's not there. He did not report to camp. Ayuk is there, at least for now, to avoid having to pay, I think, $40,000 a day, if I remember correctly.
That's what I think we heard, too.
Is the fine. So Jordan is avoiding that by being here. And they obviously agreed to that. Now, if things, I had somebody ask me the other day, well, could he leave? He could, but once he leaves, then he's going to start getting fined. And Davante, if you remember what he said that summer, I'm not giving back any money I've already earned. So that's why he didn't hold out. Now, I would argue that he should have done what Jordan loves doing. Look, you guys, I'm not doing this. I'm not playing my final season on this contract at enormous risk, especially at that position where you go over the middle and get crunched.
Right.
Right. And he'd probably still be here. He would have gotten what he wanted from a contract after getting lowballed initially, but he did the air quotes right thing. He just came to practice and worked and whatever else. I've said this before. I am proud of Jordan Love for doing this, because the easy thing to do would be to bend to the pressure and the team wants me there. My teammates would love for me to be practicing. I think the biggest thing about this whole hold in is that all these guys have his back.
Right.
All of them up and down the roster are like, look, he's here. He's taking part in the meetings. He's taking part in the walkthroughs. He's here for everything. He's not practicing because of the risk, but and my favorite quotes, my favorite quote was from, and they're playing Coldplay, and get back to my Coldplay question. that my favorite quote was from Christian Watson, who said, we want him to get every penny he deserves and more. Now, that's a guy who is not getting to work with him because he's not practicing, and that's his take on it. So that tells you how they feel about him. But to your question, that's why he's here, because of that fine structure, and you don't want to have to be – because remember, technically, he's not on his rookie contract anymore. They didn't pick up the fifth-year option. They signed him to that one-year extension, that half measure of a contract. So that tied his hands as much as it tied the Packers' hands. Had he been on his rookie contract, they couldn't have fined him, but – unfortunately for him, they can, and that's why he's here. So before we get to Woe Hunter, because the Reinitschke Field DJ is playing Coldplay, I go in musical spurts, right? Like our friend, Paul is my friend, Matt Carney, who's just an unbelievable guy and a ridiculous musician. You know, I'll listen to him, especially when he has a new album out, over and over and over again. The girls will, you know, Cindy will want me to play some Taylor Swift to break up Matt's playlists, but I'll be listening to him. Or we have another friend, Willie Porter, that we love to listen to. But I go in other sports, like random ones. Like I went through a phase where I listened to Boston for a little while.
Okay.
Or Oasis. And the last couple of days, I've been listening to a lot of Coldplay. And I feel like Coldplay, for a lot of people, is like one step above, like, I don't know.
Nickelback?
Nickelback would be a great, that's a perfect example. Why do people hate on Coldplay? I think it's amazing. You play their playlist and you get like 25 songs deep of songs that all like made the charts and were played heavily on the radio that you know and you can sing along to. And you're like 25 songs into the playlist on Spotify.
Yeah, yeah.
Why the hate, man? Are you a hater?
I wouldn't say I'm a hater. So the argument for Nickelback is that it's very like formulaic stadium rock. Right.
Okay.
And I feel like Coldplay can kind of fall into that a little formulaic. Sounds like everybody, but they have their own sound. Like at the same time, they literally are like a different genre of Nickelback is I think how they're viewed.
There's also the I think it was the Judd Apatow comedy where Seth Rogen gets the girl pregnant. I can't remember the name of it now, but in that
knocked
there's
up?
A yeah knocked up, and in that there's a scene where the two guys make fun of like someone who listens to Coldplay.
Right, yeah.
So I feel like for my generation, that's a part of it where like right, you yeah. just like associate that joke
with
so
memes and gifs, yep. right?
So I it's mean, just that's fun why to make fun of them.
That's the same reason Strofe thinks Nicolas Cage is a bad actor is because yep. there's so many memes about Nick Cage. Nick Cage is great. He's just, he kind of got blackballed. And I think that's kind of what happened to Nickelback and Coldplay.
Josh DiMaggio on the private talk and text line. It's waiting room music. inoffensive and omnipresent. Those aren't positives. That's not like that's he's like I called it inoffensive. Yeah, that's not praise.
Yeah, it doesn't offend my ears is not like good job. That's great music. They're very different phrases.
That sounds like a poll question someday. Do you like or hate Nickelback and do you like or hate Coldplay? I wonder what those numbers would look like comparatively. I feel like Nickelback would still get more haters than Coldplay. But
yeah, yeah.
What the heck do I know?
Are you still?
They've had a resurgence lately, though.
Are you still on your Coldplay playlist? What's your top song right now?
That's a good question. There's one that I've been playing in. I also have another problem that irritates my family members. I don't know if you have the same issue, but if there's a song that I really like, I start playing it. And over again, I keep hitting the back button,
yep.
playing it. Every tear is a waterfall, I believe, is the one that I've been overplaying lately and irritating people with. So, yeah, that's I'm definitely guilty of that. All right, we need to get to Woe Hunter. I feel like Hunter has not gotten nearly enough airtime, certainly in comparison to the amount of airtime Jesse gets when he's here. So we will get to Woe Hunter coming up next after Tausch tells us about what AmFam has going on with Dream Drive and everything else. More Wildy and Tausch with Matt Hamilton and Hunter Vaughn as our cousin subs of the day. Stick around. It's Wildy and Tausch.
Packer fans, Dream Drive is back. Come on down to Lambeau Field to kick off another year of big smiles in less than a mile. Little Packer fans can ride between Lambeau and training camp with their own bike or on one from the American Family Insurance fleet alongside of Packers players. American Family Insurance continues to support this heartwarming event, mobilizing the community to realize their dreams as they ride safe and protected. Join American Family Insurance for another historic year as we keep the tradition moving. Grab your wheels and let's ride, Green Bay. American Family Mutual Insurance, S&I, its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
This is Wildy and Tausch, driven by Zimbrick Chevrolet in Sun Prairie on 100.5 ESPN. See their full inventory at ZimbrickChevrolet.com.
I'm dancing at practice as the dulcet and inoffensive waiting room tones of Coldplay bring us back to, and lead us into Whoa Hunter.
If the topic is good, the guys discuss.
Just the other morning, I had breakfast at Tracy Rocker's house. His mama brought out 15 flapjacks. He said, mama, take back 5 of them flapjacks. I gotta stay hungry for the Crimson Tide.
But if it's not, the show must go on. It's time for...
Whoa, Nelly!
On Wildy and Tausch.
So, I've been playing an obscene amount of College Football 25. and
as one does.
Yeah, I'm obsessed with it. Like, I woke up this morning and started thinking about recruiting strategy for my dynasty. Like, it's bad. It's getting really
all right,
bad.
Hunter, before you get further into this, especially considering you have an old man on the panel whose children do not have a gaming system. They don't have PlayStation or Xbox or anything like that at this juncture. What is the allure of this? And was this the game that was for a while gone and has now made a comeback with the NIL and player and the Ed O'Bannon case and everything else? Give us old people a better understanding of why this is such a big deal.
Yeah, so this game has been gone for 11 years. The last one they did was NCAA 14, which actually came out in 2013.
Was that the one with Larry Fitzgerald on the cover?
No, that was Denard Robinson. Larry Fitzgerald would have been...
Long time ago. 05?
05, I believe, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
And this one came back, and it's been incredible. The gameplay is great. The recruiting is super in-depth. Like, they have, like, the recruit's preference of, like, are they looking for academics or program tradition or brand exposure? And you can tailor your recruitment to them based off of those things. So I've gotten super deep into this game.
Sounds like it.
And last
Wait,
night...
Wait, what school do you play at?
So I started as the OC at Toledo. After a year there,
Wait, what?
You got to start at a lower end school.
You're working your way up the coaching ladder?
Yeah. I spent a year there, went to Minnesota.
I was a grad assistant at Akron.
Well, maybe that's where I started, since my pipeline is also for recruiting Ohio, and I started in Toledo, but I made my alma mater Wisconsin. Year two, I went to Minnesota. And then year three was the OC at Notre Dame, lost in the college football semifinals to Georgia, and now I got the head coaching job at Wisconsin.
Okay.
So,
but you had to go through Minnesota to get there.
I did, but I had to just prove that I was ready to be a head coach. And as I was playing, my quarterback was having an incredible game. I threw 5 touchdown passes with this air raid offense. And then Reese Davis in the game says, and I quote, "For the love of Tolzien and Stocko, what's going on today?" Do I have virtual beef with Reese Davis? Because I feel like he was taking a shot at me.
Hello?
That's hilarious.
You know, Hunter, I got to say, I admire, and again, this is a judgment-free zone. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah.
I love that you're excited about this. I think anything you get excited about, even if it's a video game that maybe I don't appreciate how amazing this is. Like, remember, like, if you've ever seen the movie Swingers, which you guys are borderline too young for anyway, they're playing like NHL 95s. That's my era of gaming. So I am going to defer to Matt on answering this this query.
No, you don't have beef. I do. That is an awesome callback.
Yeah,
to like a Badger's past. I think that's fantastic. So no, I think you're within your rights to have like a little giggle and wonder if this game is like actually inside your head, which clearly it is, but it was unintentional. Hunter, you should just let it roll off your back like a duck in water.
Okay.
Whoa, Nelly!
As I was getting things set up today for the show, I heard on Unsportsmanlike that there's a little bit of beef between now Michelle Smallman and our ESPN Chicago team, because apparently she was banned from Cap and J-Hood for saying that the Bears aren't at like they aren't at all contenders. So, Jason, I think you should feel good about Michelle potentially picking the Packers here as her NFL team, which I know you've been courting her almost all summer.
Yeah, I'll be honest. I think Jesse and Tausch have been doing more courting. We did. I wanted to be part of the team, but I'm going to say the quiet part out loud. She can be a fan of whoever she wants. If she chooses some other team, I'm going to be okay, but I'm a little worried about whether she'll be okay. Because as we tried to convince her at the time, her whole problem stems from the fact that her team left her, right? She was a St. Louis Rams fan. She spent so much time in St. Louis. That was her team, and they moved. They up and moved. Now, I'm not saying that the Bears are going to move, although they still haven't figured out exactly what their stadium situation is going to look like. But, like, the Packers are the one team that can make her an ironclad promise that they ain't going anywhere ever for as long as they both shall live. And so if she chooses someone else who wants to take that risk because she's got a crush on Joe Burrow, that's her problem. I will say this. I don't know why you would ban her from your show. I'm not here to judge Cap and Jay Hood. They do a great show for ESPN Chicago. But, like, she's so good. Like, I don't... I understand that there are people that prefer, let's say, men to talk sports. She knows she is extremely well versed in everything. Like, she is phenomenal at what she does. And if you're a chauvinist who doesn't want to listen to her, that's your loss because she's fantastic. That said, she can be a fan of whoever the hell she wants because I'll be fine either way.
Yeah, Wildy. For men that don't want to listen to female sports, they clearly haven't listened to Molly Brown give
right,
her
she's
take
the best
the
thing
Packers
that's happened
yet.
To that show since it started.
100%. 100%. She is way more impactful than my fourth place finish.
Well, not in the fact that you're very rarely there, so we had to have somebody that could be consistently on the show.
We say that now as she's pregnant with twins. She's going to be gone as much as I am this year. Come on, Molly.
Wait a minute. Was that public knowledge? Did I miss that email?
Yeah, we did it. We did it on the opening of our show the first day.
Wow.
I pretended to like out her, and then she's like, well, thanks, Matt. And no one knew. So, yes, it is public knowledge now.
Wow, talk about kicking things off with a bang.
Yeah, exactly. We're just trying to go for them ratings, baby. Mm. I think Smallman can pick whoever she wants. I love that you guys are trying to, like, quarter. But you're right. Green Bay's not going anywhere. It's one of those teams, like, you want to get involved with a team with history. That's the one. It's been around since basically the inception of football in America, and it's going to be until football is no longer a thing. So I think you're right, Jason.
All right. Well,
Nelly!
She has also gotten a lot of – I mean, what's the holdup here? I feel like this conversation was like 3 months ago now, and she still hasn't picked somebody yet?
Well, just kind of waiting for the market, a little bit of hold in right now because she's still working at ESPN.
Sure, got to work the ratings, Jason.
Exactly.
Come on.
Sure. Yeah, well, I'm not good at that, that's for sure. I guess I'll have to announce that I'm pregnant with twins to really help that. all right, that's it for Woe Hunter. We need to have some time to get to Feel Good Friday, painted by Hellman Lindsay Paints. We will wrap up the week and wrap up the show with that next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
What's up, Madison? It's head coach Kelly Sheffield.
Wisconsin proved they were the number one team in the country tonight.
You're listening to Madison's new home for Wisconsin Badger Volleyball, 100.5 ESPN and Wisconsin On Demand.
You gotta get down on Friday. It's time to finish the week off right. It's Feel Good Friday on Wildy and Tausch, painted by Hallman Lindsay.
Hey, feeling good, like I should. When in Durban, walk around the neighborhood. Feeling blessed, never stressed. Got the sunshine on my Sunday best. Every day can be a better day despite the challenge.
We wrap up the week with Feel Good Friday, painted by Hallman Lindsay Paints. And I try on this show, Matt, to make it not about me.
All right.
Tausch is the star. Jesse tries very hard to make it about him. We all know that.
Yeah.
And this, I guess, is technically about me, but it's really about my team. There is nothing that I get to do. And I love my job, man. I love writing. I love our show. I love talking to all of our different shows. I am really blessed to do this for a living. And this is season number 29 for me. But there's nothing that I get to do more that I love more than coaching. Not just my girls, but our teams that I've gotten to coach. And this was the last season of softball for Sydney. So I got to coach her one last time and her team. And the Cardinals on Wednesday night won the league championship. With a win in the final game. We finished with one loss on the season. It happened to be the game that I wore my shirt that said, I just hope both teams have fun. So I don't wear that to games anymore. Shirt. That's me. Yeah. You would know, fourth place finisher. So
yeah.
I just wanted to give a shout out to the 11 girls on our team who overcame the incredibly mediocre coaching to win a championship. Elena, Addison, Bryn, Evie, Kemper, Kinley, Nora, Reagan. We had two Reagans on our team. Sadie and Sydney. And those are alphabetical, so my daughter ended up last on the list. But it was really fun. I am a huge believer that you can both push them and have fun at the same time and put fun in the fundamentals. And they were absolutely fantastic. Really talented girls who they were really easy to coach. And we had a great time and ate a lot of ice cream after games. I took that page out of Shaka Smart's milkshake book, and I'm really going to miss them. So it was really fun to be able to do that, and I just wanted to give the girls a shout-out because they were awesome. And that is my Feel Good Friday, painted by Hallman Lindsay Paints. It's been a Feel Good Friday all Friday long because of Matt Hamilton and Hunter Vaughn, our cousin subs of the day. I thank you guys, and I thank everybody who came along for the ride with us today. More from Packers practice as we roll on. You can check out ESPNWisconsin.com and hear us throughout the day. Thanks for coming along for the ride with us. Have a great day. Take care. Be good.
Miss any of today's episode of Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin? Commercial-free full show podcasts are available free on Wisconsin On Demand.